The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Well, some time ago, Michael O'Leary of Ryanair earmarked today, the 1st of July, as the reopening of 40% of their network. Holidaymakers are set to lose thousands of euro on flights because if the flight runs and you cancel your holiday, you don't get a refund. Well, to find out what happened in Dublin Airport today, whether people followed the advice of the chief medical officer and didn't travel aboard and the planes were empty or not, it's a pleasure to welcome the chief communications officer with the Dublin Airport Authority, Paul O'Kane. What has activity been like today?
Hi, Ivan. It was busier today than it's been for a while. It wasn't day one, as you referenced earlier, before the outbreak, as much as we've actually been opened right through the lockdown in line with government guidelines to facilitate cargo flights and repatriation flights. So what we've seen over the past couple of months has been a steady and a gradual increase in traffic, albeit off a very, very low base, Ivan. So if you look, say, back in April, passenger numbers in Dublin Airport were down 99%. In May, down 98%. As you moved into June, passenger numbers were down about 97% compared to last year. And in the last, sort of the tail end of June, we got up to about 96% compared to last year. But you saw a significant jump today in terms of the flight numbers, because earlier in the week we had about 100 flights to and from Dublin Airport. And with that big Ryanair expansion that you referenced today, that's gone up to about 200 flights. But on a normal day at this time of the year, we'd have about 800 flights in and out of the airport. So it's still, given what we normally would normally have, it's still a very low level of traffic. Although obviously it's a jump compared to what we had earlier this month.
Now, last Thursday night, the government suggested air bridges to particular countries with something that would meet with approval. And people have said Denmark and Finland and Greece, where the level of COVID-19 is similar to our own. Is there any pattern emerging in terms of people wanting to travel to destinations, an awareness of the level of COVID in countries in terms of both the airlines and the passengers' preference?
It's very difficult for us to predict that, because it's funny. Ordinarily, we'd have a very high level of insight into passenger behaviour because we survey passengers at the airport. But obviously, due to COVID-19, we've had to suspend all of those face-to-face surveys. One of the things we have done a bit of market research, and we've found that in recent weeks, we found that the market has segmented in a way that you might expect. So younger people are quite keen to fly. There is a pent-up demand amongst the younger people. When you get to middle-aged fellows like myself who are married with children, there's a bit more caution. And then if you get into an older age group, and this is completely understandable given the way that COVID has affected the population, when you get into an older age group, obviously the desire to travel is much less. And one of the interesting things we found from that research was one of the key motivating factors in people's willingness to travel. You might presume that it might be a kind of a bucket and spade trip away, but actually it isn't. It's visiting friends and relations. So sometimes I think we forget that we have so many people living here that have friends and relations overseas, and obviously and that's both Irish people who have emigrated abroad, and then of course we have a huge amount of new Irish that have friends and family living overseas also. That's a big driver, and we saw that. When I was out at the airport today, I was watching people press doing some vox pops with passengers, and you could see that was a trend amongst some of the passengers they were talking to there. They had either come home to visit friends and family here, or they were heading off to visit friends
now,
and family abroad.
Now, Paul, the DAA were contributors to the Aviation Task Force, which called for the lifting of various restrictions on the 1st of July. Could I put it to you that there is a huge gulf between what NEFED, Tony Holohan, Philip Nolan are saying and what the aviation industry say they need? And could I put it to you that there is an absolute lack of political courage and leadership to fill that vacuum? And this has resulted into the disaster of no refunds. Like, if the government feels so strongly about backing NEFED, then surely they should ban these flights. Like, at the moment, the public are simply the meat in the sandwich here between NEFED and the aviation industry, while the government sits on their hands.
In relation to the Aviation Task Force, we are one of a number of members of that task force. And the task force, as you say, had recommended that the government relax some of the restrictions by July the 1st. Last week, the government announced that it was planning to relax its restrictions. and that it was going to announce some air corridors between Ireland and certain other countries that had low levels, and it would make that announcement by July the 9th, but we haven't had any firm details on that. I mean, ultimately, as the task force, we were consulted on our view, and the government makes the decision here in terms of travel policies. They set the travel policies for COVID as they have from the outset, and we've followed those policies. So ultimately, the government will make the decision. But you're completely right in as much as it's a terrible position that consumers have been put in. Consumers, for most people, particularly people who are travelling in July and August, your family holiday or your holiday, if you're travelling in July and August, you're travelling in the peak summer months, you're paying peak prices. That's unless you bought a house or a car this year, your summer holiday is probably the biggest thing you buy during the year. And people are being left in a really difficult position because they're not sure whether they should fly or not fly. They're not sure if their travel insurance is going to cover them. They're not sure if they decide not to fly, whether or not the airlines are going to refund them. It's a very, very, and also there's, as you say, they're seeing mixed messages on the one hand
But there's another context to this, which is EASA, the international and the European authorities have set out a protocol. Can you say that when people land in this country, in terms of the form, in terms of the testing and tracing, that it is a safe protocol to land in Dublin Airport?
Well, in terms of the system, in terms of the quarantine and the self-isolation system, that's a government regulation which is currently in place in terms of everyone who arrives in Dublin Airport or indeed any other airport in the state or at any of our ports has to fill in the passenger locator form, which is a government form. They hand that to an immigration officer and then there's a follow-up process in terms of self-isolation. So there are systems in place and these are decisions that governments make right throughout Europe and indeed in other European countries. They are deciding to open up to travel on a limited basis. As you say, there is a set of COVID-19 guidelines that were developed by the European Union Aviation Safety Agency in partnership with the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control. And we have those guidelines. And indeed, we're following those guidelines very largely at Dublin and Cork airports. And we've been investing very heavily to make sure we can make our passengers feel safe and secure when they travel through the airports. If you look at Dublin Airport, for example, we have 960 hand sanitizers. We have more than 620 plexiglass screens at all close contact points, so at check-in, at boarding gates, at security. And then we have about 10,000 signs around the campus in terms of social distancing and hand hygiene. So we've closed off seats in boarding gate areas to maintain social distancing. We've closed off tables in our restaurants, and there are signs as you go into the lift to say how many people should inhabit that lift or should enter the lift rather. Okay. And then even as far as washrooms, Ivan, if you go into a bathroom at the airport now, you know, if you're standing washing your hands at a sink, the next sink to you will be closed off so you can enable social distancing. So we're working really hard to make people feel safe and secure if they do decide to travel, because obviously that's a personal decision.
All right. My sincere thanks to Paul O'Kane, Chief Communications Officer with the Dublin Airport Authority, explaining the protocols and awaiting clear government direction in this conflict and gulf between the aviation sector and, of course, NEFIT.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.